If you would, turn to 2 Corinthians 5:17, please.
We've been looking at questions on assurance, and so we're going to start with 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17 it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again for another night. We thank you for the many blessings that you bestow upon us and the blessings that we get to read about, that you've taken care of our missionaries and those we support on a regular basis. Father, we're just looking forward now to your word and what you have for us tonight as we look into this questions on assurance. As people sometimes question whether or not they're truly saved, I pray, Father, that people would get that settled. And if they're not settled tonight, that they do that before they leave here. For it's in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. So the first question tonight is, have I been changed by the new birth? Has my heart been changed? First question is, do I love Christ? It's easy to say, yes, I love Christ, right? You ask people, and most of them who profess Christianity anyway, will say, yes, I love Christ. The test of our love for him, he says, Christ speaking, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's the test if we love him or not. If we love him, we'll keep his commandments. Pretty simple. So, do I love Christ? Are we keeping his commandments? Do I love Christians? I've said for years, it's amazing how I can talk to somebody I've never, ever met in my life, meet them for the first time, whether on a phone call or in person, and we can talk for hours. And it's like we've known each other our whole lives. There's a love for the brethren. When we're saved, we're going to love the brethren. We're going to love the things God loves, right? We're going to love the brethren. And I just find it amazing how we could just click immediately because we have this common bond in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can strengthen our emotional feelings of assurance by practicing unselfish love. I've said many times, we as human beings have a hard time loving like God loves. I have some people that in my life that they just cut off talking to me because they thought that I would no longer want to associate with them because of some things they did in their life. Folks, we're supposed to love like Christ loves. We're supposed to forgive like Christ forgives. I told one friend of mine, I said, you know what? As we are believers in Jesus Christ, Jesus taught us to love unconditionally. It doesn't matter what you do, I still love you. I may not agree with what you're doing, and you'll probably hear that out of my mouth, because I will tell you when you're messing up, but I still love you. We need to get to that point in our lives where we have an unselfish love, where we're not looking for something in return, but we're just ready, willing, and able to love because that's what Christ told us to. We need to get to that point if we haven't already. Look at 1 John chapter 2. First John 2, verse 9 says, "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now." And then look at verse 11. "But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Look at 1 John 3. Verse 18 and 19 of 1 John chapter 3. It says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him." It's easy to say you love. It takes more effort to prove it. And our actions speak louder than our words. Do I love church? 1 John 3:14 says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." Do we love the church? Again, our actions speak louder than words. If we're in the services, obviously it shows that we love the church, right? We love it enough we showed up for it. But let me also say, there's a lot of people that will attend church and just to be get that pat on the back, "Well, I put in my time and went home," right? "At least I gave God some time this week." Thursday night's a good indication of those who love the Lord, right? We show up because the doors are open. We love the church because the doors are open. We want to be here. Where else would we be, right? We love the church. Do I love the Bible? I've seen some people, and it's totally up to you what you want to do. It's your Bible. But I don't throw my Bible around. I just don't think it's right. It's the Word of God. We should treat it with some respect. People say, "Well, it's not God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." God, it's His very Word. I think it's important that we treat it with some respect. I've seen people just toss them, and it's like, "That's the Word of God. What are you doing?" Do we love the Bible? Let me just say, our forefathers gave their lives so we could have the Bible, the written Word of God. There were people that were murdered for having even just one little bit of Scripture on their possession when they were found. But it was so important to them. They loved the Word so much that they wanted any bit of it that they could have, even at risk of their own lives. Today, they're readily available in the United States of America, right? I've mentioned many times, I have several copies of it. I know where every one of them is. I have several copies in my office that I just give away to people. "You get saved, I'm going to give you a copy. I want you to read it. You tell me you don't have a Bible, I'm going to give you a copy. I want you to read it. I want you to have the Word of God. It's readily available." I made the comment that you used to be able to get it at the misnomer dollar store for a buck in a soft copy, right? Not hardback, but softback. And for a buck. It's readily available in the United States of America, so we treat it like it's not all that important. It's not all that valuable, when we should see it as something very valuable. Do I love lost souls? We need to have a love for the lost, or we're not going to care that they spend eternity in a place called hell, and later on will be, well, they're cast into the lake of fire later on. Do I hate sins and things of the world I once loved? Look at 1 John 2, verse 15. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Have we lost that desire for the things of the world? I was talking to a guy this week, and he was telling me, he says, there's so many things that are pulling you in so many different directions. How do you have time for church services? How do you have time to read the Bible? How do you have time to pray? How do you have time for... I said, it's amazing how much time we have for the things we want to do and how little time we have for the things of God. He says, how do people do it? I suggested he start his day a little earlier and start in the Word before he even leaves for work. I said, nobody can take that from you. You just get up a little earlier in the morning, spend that time with God, you've already got it done, and everything that happens after that cannot steal that time from you because you've already done it. He said, that's a good idea. You're not going to miss that time because you've already had it. He says, things are pulling you this way and that way and every which way. And I said, Satan is a master deceiver. He wants us to believe we don't have time for the things of God. We're all given the same amount of time. We will have time if we find that these things are important. If we don't think they're important, we won't have time for them because other things will take over. Then we had the conversation about kids and sports and this kid's in this sport and this kid's in that sport. So you got this game to go to and that game to go to and this practice to go to and that practice to go to and you're pulled every which way. And again, you're making time for what's important to you. Have to decide what's most important and then make that first. Has my life been changed? Do I walk in the light? Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. 1 John 1, 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Then do I walk in his commandments? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4. And these things write I unto you, that your joy may be full. Oops, wrong one. 2:4. I knew that didn't sound right. 1 John 2:4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. That makes sense. And then 1 John 3, verse 10. First John 3:10 says, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Then can I discern gross doctrinal heresy? 1 John 4, verses 1 through 6. 1 John 4, starting in verse 1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Can we discern doctrinal heresies? Do we know enough about the Bible? I found it just a blessing to my heart when my kids went to a place and they said, "Dad, that they're not doing what's right. Do we have to go back there?" When they told me what happened, I said, "Absolutely not, you're not going back there." I thank God that they knew what was going on there was not of God. Baptist church, right? You think you're safe. We need to be able to discern right from wrong, according to the Word of God, not according to what we think, right? We might be easily swayed, but thank God we can know and we can discern what's right and what's wrong, the truth from the errors. There's a lot of people out there that are unfortunate, babes in Christ. They don't know enough about the Word of God. And they hear something and it sounds good, right? Because Satan sprinkles error in with the truth. Sounded good. I heard a couple things in that statement that sounded right. So it must all be right. No, we need to be able to discern these doctrinal heresies. We need to know right from wrong. Look at John chapter 10. And we'll finish with this tonight. John 10, starting in verse 3, says, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." Then look at verse 27. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." We need to be following after him, knowing what's right and what's wrong. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so very thankful for your word, thankful for this day, looking forward to the time that we have as we go to prayer, as we share prayer requests and all, for it's in the blessed name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.